Very good morning to you. It's a Saturday morning, the very 31st of May, actually the last day of the month of May. So good morning to you wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So thanks to Hileni with Social Times and the discussion. It was really, 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 really very informative, very educative. Always said, please make sure always that you make you actually, you know, book this time from wherever, every Saturday in the morning. Not only this, actually every show. Make sure that you book your time with Eagle FM every time, because, always really interesting conversation, with Social Times. But today we're gonna continue and on the same path. We're going to continue on the same path. Stay tuned, because we're going to look at why do we sometimes make the same mistake over and over again. So that's the topic we're going to discuss today. We're going to look at our decision making process. And that's something my namesake, Michael, you know, was talking about the mindset, and also really, I think other things is that, you know, we as men, I think we've become a little bit of those, you know, and it's because I'm blaming it to the feminist, you know. The feminists want a strong man. The feminists, you know, they turn us into this man, but this is not what I actually, and turn back and look at us and said, well, this is not actually what we want, but that's what you have turned us into. All right. So, okay. Now, as I said, welcome to this episode of Mind Matters. This is your weekly journey into the fascinating world of human behavior and psychology. So this is a program that explore the psychological patterns and social behavior or social factors that influences how we think, how we feel, and how we definitely make decision in our life. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and today, as I said, we are exploring a question that many of us have thought about at one point. Why do we sometimes make the same mistakes over and over again? So, and to shed light on this, I will share a story about a donkey. Yeah, it's those fable style, you know, those tale that used to be told. But there's so much in that story. So it's simple. It's a simple story, but it reveals so uncomfortable truth about how our mind works, And through these narratives, then we will uncover the psychological patterns that lead us to repeat our errors. And also, later on, we discuss also strategies to break free from these circles, because we find ourselves in the same circle. So stay tuned as we journey into the depth of our decision-making process and learn how to avoid becoming the proverbial, you know, the proverbial donkey in today's story. So the reason why we do this, when we understand the psychological mechanism behind our repeated mistakes, so that can empower us. So that can be able to empower us to make more informed decisions and also foster a personal growth. So that's what we're going to look at too today. So stay tuned. And also, as usual, I always invite you that this is a program. This is from 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock. We refer this time a mental health hours. Where I also invite you, to come through, sometimes just respond to the things that I'm saying, to the topic that I'm discussing. But also, if you have any issues that you're dealing with, that you find maybe confusing, difficult, you know, you find yourself more distressed and you don't know how to get out of that, and you just need to talk to somebody, and you just need to ask, either questions of how to do what you are going through, or someone you know that is going through, you're most welcome to come through. And as I said, If we don't work out something together here on the show, we can always, you know, as I said, I can always promise to get you someone, who can be able to help you. So that's what we do. You're most welcome as well to come through at one point. I will open up line when I know that I have given enough for you to reflect, and you can now be able to call in and contribute on the show. So now, as I said, our story is actually from those ancient fable that is relevant today. That's also relevant today, as it was in those centuries, you know. And it's about a hungry lion, and a cunning fox, and a donkey who just can't seem to learn from experience. So it could be something you could be identified as this donkey. But before we dig into the psychological behind this story, let me share, I'm going to share with you the story, because I guarantee you, you probably recognize some of this pattern in your own life or in the people around you. All right, let's go. And where did I put that story? Where is that story? All right. Okay, stay tuned. All right, here's the story. Now, here's once a hungry lion told the fox. He told the fox, get me something to eat or I will eat you. So the hungry lion actually told the fox, get me something to eat or I will eat you. So the fox went to a donkey and said, the lion wants to make you a king. Come with me. So now when the lion saw the donkey, he attacked, biting off its ears. But the donkey ran away. The donkey told the fox, you tricked me. The lion tried to kill me. The fox replied, don't be silly. He took your ears off so you could wear a crown. You know? So let's go back. So the donkey thought this made sense. So it followed the fox again. Now this time the lion attacked the donkey and bit off its tail. Now, the donkey escaped again and saying to the fox, you were lying. I know you were lying. So the lion cut off my tail. And the fox said, come on, take it easy. He just wants you to sit comfortably on your throne. So that's why he cut off your tail. He just wants you to sit comfortably. When you have a tail, that's going to distract you. So it just wanted you to sit comfortably on your throne. Come back with me. Let's go again. So the fox convinced the donkey to return once more. And the lion then caught the donkey and killed it. The lion said to the fox, now, good job. Bring back the donkey. And now skin it for me and bring its brain, lungs, livers, and heart. So the fox skinned the donkey and ate it. And the fox skinned the donkey and ate its brain, but brought back its lungs, liver, and heart to the lion. And then the lion got angry and asked, Where is it brain? Where is it brain? So the fox replied, it had no brain, my king. If it had one, it wouldn't have come back to you after you had it. The lion thought about it for a moment and said, that is true. Well, that's our story. So now we're going to use this story. So in this story, we're going to start examining what the fox did so effectively in our story. And what we're going to look at this, we're going to look at some psychological tactics. Could be manipulation, could be rationalizations. We're going to look at those to see how this actually happened in, and apply that, you know, one by one, apply those tactics into our, own stories. I mean, into our own life, and see how does this fit into our, how do we apply this, these psychological mechanisms and strategies in our own story? How do they happen to us, or how do we do that to other people? That's what we're going to look at. And before we got into that, so we listen to our stories. Before we get into that, let's have some musical break, just to maybe get us in that mood of, you know, wanting to listen. And by the way, this is the end of the month. You must have a good reason to feel good. So, all right, let's have Bujo, Bujo Mujo. Friends, haven't heard this song for a while. All right, that's actually Friends by Moja Moja. This one. Very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, good morning. A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us and you missed out. You missed out on the story that I told already that we're going to analyze. I'm not going to go into the story again if you missed it. So definitely, I'm not going to go back to that. So I'm going to use that story actually to highlight a couple of things, you know, some psychological, you know, aspect or tactics or mechanism or strategies that we use without even noticing that we do. All right. So we looked at the story of a donkey and a fox and a lion. So let's start by examining what the fox did so effectively in our story. So the fox used what psychological call manipulation tactics. So the manipulation tactics is normally, you know, these are strategies you use. Manipulation tactics is different from lies. Okay? I just want you to understand this, that manipulation tactics actually it has intention. That intention could be a deceptive intention. It could be exploitative intention. So it's a difference between lying, manipulation and lying is a bit different. So because manipulative tactics, it's a strategy you use to influence or control the person's thought. You control the person's thought, you control the person's emotion, or you control the person's behavior. And often it has that deceptive intention or exploitative intentions. Now, we know normally those kind of tactics used to the person who is manipulating interest. So it's on the manipulator's interest, and definitely on the expenses of the one who is being manipulated. So that's why I bring in a little bit of lies to say lies are normally person telling from their point of view that maybe they are concealing something, and or protecting something from themselves. That they don't want the other person to know, but it's not a manipulation. So this is the fox. What the fox has used here is what is called manipulative tactics. And as I said, it's where now you intentionally want to influence or control the other person's out, or probably how they feel or how they think or how they behave. So now, I can give you some of the, of exactly maybe just so that we get this very clear. So, say, for example, gaslighting. You know, when you are gaslighting, what do you do? Normally you make that person doubt something. You doubt, you make the person maybe you are targeting to doubt. You sow some seed of doubt in that individual, making them actually question their memory, question maybe their perception or question their sanity, you know? So where they think actually, you know, where you can say, no, but you did that. You know, in the way you actually now be forceful in terms of that, but that's what you did. So then the person can, but I can't remember that. You know, now you gaslight, making the person actually feel, am I forgetting this? Have I done this? Am I perceiving this in the wrong way? Whatever. So the person is actually doing it with intention now to make you confused. And that's the reasons why. Or let's take the simple one. Let's take also, and don't take it in a negative way, but that's a reality actually. Don't take it in a negative way. So let's say, for example, you want a girl, eh? So what do you do? What do you do then? And this is actually a manipulative tactics in itself. It's a manipulative tactics. Okay. When a guy wants a girl, what do? So they could be possibly showing, excessive love, you know, affection to this person. So they show affection to this person. You saw it in many ways, maybe in the things that you bring to the person, the things that you say to the person. So, and you show affection and you show attention. You pay, you give attention to this person. Now, the whole idea is to gain control over them. You understand? So that whole idea is actually to gain control over them. When you do all these kind of things, is for them to trust you, to believe in you, and whatever these things. It's actually to gain control over them. That's basically it. That's what happened. And now when you gain control over them, so you can be able now, when they trust you and all that, you can be able to do what? You know, now you can be able to manipulate them. It's a manipulative tactic. Eh? So even if it becomes a habit, it's an habitual way of how we do things, but it's a manipulative tactic. So it's like marketing. It's actually like marketing, which marketing is actually a manipulative, you know, a tactics that is being used to manipulate your mind, your behavior, and your emotions, you know? Or think about, I'm just giving you an example quickly before we get to our story. So think about also the emotional shift, you know, normally it's called mood manipulation. So when somebody just changed, you are with this girl and then you are maybe at your place. Let's say, for example, you were somewhere having good times and then you come to your place. And all of a sudden, this person have just changed the mood. You know, what happened that? Just the change, just the shift of the mood. So the mood changed now. What happened? So that start to confuse. That's actually used to confuse and control you. So what would you do? Okay, what is going on? What is going on? So now you are actually falling into her, you know, into her, you know, whatever intention, into her world. All right. What is going on? No, nothing, you know, and actually the mood has changed. So no, nothing. So what is that? The person actually using that sudden emotional shift just to either to confuse and to control you. And of course, in that way, you will be more acceptable to whatever the person is saying, you know? So it's a manipulative tactic. So a person might have done it not without knowing that they are manipulating. Even a small children also manipulate. I don't think they think they are doing manipulative tactic, but it's a manipulative tactic. A child, when they know if I cry, this is what normally a parent would do. They associate that now, that behavior by a parent actually doing this. So what do? So they do that to manipulate you, to do what you normally do. So I want you to understand that process. As I said, we're looking at the decision-making process and what is actually goes through your mind in terms of this. So, those are some of the things, and I'm just highlighting those. Now, in our story, the fox actually used several sophisticated techniques that we see everywhere in a modern life. So, now, first, the fox actually used what we call the bait and switch. Okay? I'm going to explain what is that bait and switch. Now, remember bait, when you actually doing a bait, you know, something to, you're baiting it, and also switch. Okay? It is in the name. This is a manipulative act, a manipulative tactics where this is what you do. You present an attractive offer or a behavior. That's what we call the bait. You know, so you present an attractive offer or a behavior that becomes your bait. Now, this is now to gain trust or commitment from the person that you're targeting, okay, or from the individual that you want. Now, once the individual has become now engaged, all right, so you replace that with something less favorable or entirely different proposition or something completely different. Now, let's look at the lion and at the fox. What does the fox present? It's presented that the lion wants to make you king. Now, the donkey, of course, is desire. That what is presented is that he wants you to make, he actually have a desire to become a king. So that's the bait, you know? So that's what is being an attractive offer. The attractive offer is to become the king. Now, when now the donkey went to the, to see the lion, the lion start attacking the donkey. Now, first of bite off his ear and then the tail. And what was told now by the fox is that, oh, come on. So he just want, you know, he bite off the ear and said, no, he just want, you know, to wear, the crown, you know, that would help you to wear the crown. No, that's just to, when he bite off the tail, that's just to make you comfortable on the throne. You understand? So now, You the bait is being used, and that for you to come and switch to something different. You understand? Which now become confusing for the donkey. Now let's give a real life example. Now you are a student. You're going for your you're going for your university. You're at university. So it's your first year in a university and you're looking for accommodation. You probably, the problems that you have is that you don't have accommodation. Nobody probably pay you, especially now when it's going to free. Maybe you don't have now the education is going to be free. Now you have no one actually to pay for your accommodation. And you have this man, you know, he said, well, you know what? I'm going to pay for your accommodation. Yeah. Now that's the bait. Okay. I'm going to pay for your accommodations. So that's the bait. And well, maybe I have one of the flat in Windhoek North. And, that's very close to Nast. So yeah, maybe you can use that one. But before I do that, you know, you need to show me some love. Now, that is now the twist, the switch. You see? So, this is now, it replaced that is there, but it replaced that with something less favorable or entirely different proposition. You see that? That's now the switch. So, this is not something that we normally communicate in that way, but the process. So, the process of that manipulation tactic is to actually present something that is more attractive, but so now you are lured by this something that is attractive, but in actual fact, the intention is something else, which you still actually, you know, the person would ask you to do based on the original, you know. Now you will probably think, oh, this is just a sacrifice for something that is actually bigger. Do you understand? For something that actually I want. Do you understand that kind of manipulation? You probably have done it without realizing that's the process. Now, let's look at the psychological mechanism behind the bait and switch. I want you to understand that. Once the individual commit to a decision, that you understand this. This is how your brain works. So once you commit to a decision, it's because when you commit to a decision, it's because you believe somehow. You evaluate and think about and you are convinced. Okay. That's the right thing to do. So once you commit to a decision, then you strive to remain consistent with that commitment. So even when circumstances now change unfavorably, so it's like, I want to finish that. Let's say you're studying and you know, you make a commitment to that, no matter other things that are actually coming around that may distract you from that, you will strive to remain consistent. So because you make, and that's, That's how, when a person make a commitment, they will strive to commit, you know, to stay committed to that decision that they made. So that's how we work. That's how our mind work. All right. So even if the distraction, a little bit distraction comes in there and there, you probably consist, you wouldn't change your commitment. So, and that's why you find, that's why you find people in a marriage, for example, they are being abused. So what do you looking at? You're being abused. You're being battered all the time. That's your mind. What is your mind works? Your mind actually look at the commitment that you have made, the vows that you have made. You believe in it. So, and all this kind of seem to be just a distraction of that commitment. So even if it's unfavorable, even it's become worse, it's because your mind has been made up and it's committed and consistent to that commitment. That's how we work. That's why people find it difficult actually living in a toxic and abusive relationship. So it's because of the commitment. And this is typical. Think of this as women. Women always, when they get into a relationship, it's kind of like they have made, once they made that decision, it's a decision, they make already a commitment that maybe this is the man I will have for the rest of my life. So men are now what's happened, whether it's cheating, whether it's, you know, abusive and things like that. The person remain still striving for that commitment they have made initially. So that's how your mind works. So, and I want you to understand that. So the other thing is what is referred to as cognitive dissonance. Now, when you're confronted now with discrepancies between now what you are expecting and the reality. Now there is that discrepancies now between what is being expected. This is what I expected how things to be, but the reality is totally different. So what do you do? You, of course, as an individual, you experience that discomfort. Okay. And what do you do now? So you rationalize the new situation with your initial commitment. Okay. So that you can actually reduce, these psychological tensions. So now let's say, for example, your commitment is to happy marriage and being, you know, married. And now this person is starting to abuse you. So what do you normally, when you go to the people, what are you trying to say? You say to yourself, you rationalize this. No. He was just because he was tired, or it's just because I say the wrong thing to him that he actually bit me. Or it's just because he was drunk. He's normally actually, you see, you rationalize this new situation, or this is what is happening, to align with your initial commitment. So because now you have tensions, now you have this psychological tension where you know, there's that discrepancy, your expectations of what it should be and the reality now. So you have this psychological tension that is going. And the way now you actually get out of the tensions, what do? You rationalize it. Okay? You come up with some reasons. Even if the evidence shows differently, you come up with actually rationalizing to reduce that psychological tension that is you are experiencing. So when I'm talking about bait and switch, those are things that the process that goes on with you. Now, and the other thing is then your initial attractive offer, it serves as a reference point all the time. So now making whatever comes later, whatever either less favorable option or whatever, they appear more acceptable in comparison to what you want to achieve. So you understand, I want to stay in a perfect marriage. No matter is how abusive it is, so you kind of want to keep that original commitment that you have made. So this become acceptable. So the beating, the abuse become acceptable in comparing to your commitment. So you see how your decision-making process work. So I want you to understand that, ne? So I want you to understand that. So when now the donkey, let's go back to the story. So when the donkey experienced harm, now he's experienced harm and tried to escape, the fox didn't give up. Eh? The fox actually went back to him. He also then, as I said earlier on, you know, so he employed the technique of rationalizations, you know? So where now he uses this mechanism where you sometime, let me just explain from your point of view. So it's a defensive mechanism where you unconsciously justify behavior. You justify behavior, you justify a certain thought, or you justify a certain feeling. So to avoid confronting the truth. So you understand? So like what I'm saying earlier on when I talked about that now, you're being abused, but you actually justify that to avoid, you know, confronting the truth, to make you feel to make yourself feel better. Eh? So have you found yourself in that situation? So you can start to say, no, like what the donkey did, like what the fox did. He said, he took your ears. He cut off your ears so you could eat, so that you can wear the crown. Eh? Or he cut off your tail so you could sit comfortably on the throne. So you understand, it's a justification, rationalizations. Remember that word, rationalizations. Whenever you find yourself in, because the donkey now experienced harm. Whenever you find yourself in a situation where you experience harm, where you experience distress, you know, and you kind of find way to justify that. Remember what we are saying. You are rationalizing to actually reduce the psychological tensions between what is expected, that coming from your commitment, your initial commitment, to the reality of that situation. What is real now? What is truthful? What is going on? So you're trying to reduce that tensions. So now let's give some, think about how this play out in real life. Okay. How many times have you seen someone staying in a toxic relationship because their partner always has an excuses? Okay. So, well, yeah, he only yelled because he's stressed at work. You understand? It's justifying that reality. Yeah. He just yelled because he's stressed at work. She only control my money because she's better with finance. I heard that before. So she only control my money because, you know, she's better at finance. Could be true. She's better with finance. So, or you could be a student. Eh? Also, or you, and this you could do it yourself as well. You're not only referring to a person, to someone else, giving a justifying from someone else, but you can also do that for yourself. A student who received maybe a poor grade might blame the instructor's, you know, teaching style, instead of acknowledging their lack of preparations. So you see, this, you know, are psychological tactics that we employ. So in here, the manipulators provide just enough rationalization. You know, you provide enough rationalization to keep now the victim come back. You know, when we said it, just providing that kind of enough to keep now the person coming back all the time, much like our fox did with the donkey. So rationalize it, and then the donkey has to come back all the time. So now the fox also used what researchers call emotional manipulation. So each time he convinced the donkey to return, he appealed to the donkey's desire. You remember? To appeal to the donkey's desire and dreams. So, and also then while dismissing donkeys through the very real experience that the real experience of harm the donkey actually experienced. And the manipulator do that. So, and this is a classic pattern where we see in, we see this in everything from abuse, from abusive relationship to financial scam to cult recruitment, you know? So now, for instance, an abuser might threaten self-harm to himself to manipulate their partner into some kind of compliance. You know, he could be saying, you know, if you really love me, you know, and he's manipulating. If you really love me, you will stop me from killing myself. You know, things like that. That's emotional manipulations. Or the other time when I was listening to the F&B segment that we have on Unpacking the Day. So scammers frequently exploit emotion. They exploit emotions such as fear. That's what I said. They exploit those fear, agency, and that's what's the most one. Agency to deceive the victims. So they, someone play you on emotional manipulations. And you probably have felt that in some, with some other people, in your life. So from that story, as I said, there's so much that we can actually analyze that we can then be able to relate it to ourselves. So let's quick have a music break, and then when we come back, or maybe let's go for another, let's still actually, and this is also important one that I want to talk about. So let's talk about the donkey. And by extension, talk about ourselves. We are not, you know, when we're not thinking clearly. So the donkey's behavior illustrate what psychological called or define as gullibility. You know, you're gullible. You know, and so when you are gullible, this is a tendency that you are easily deceived. Or you are easily tricked because of your too much trust or a lack of skepticism. Take those two words. Too much trust, excessive trust, or a lack of skepticism. Now, from a psychological standpoint, so the gullibility is considered as a failure. That's as a failure of social intelligence. Now, where now individuals is easily manipulated into a risky or unwise actions or in believing something. Do you understand? So that's then we're looking at why the donkey kept coming back. So why the donkey? Because he's being, you know, he's gullible, or you could be gullible as well. So what is that when you are gullible? What are the characteristics of a person that is being gullible? You know, so the gullible individuals often place, how do you call this, undue trust in others, even without verifying the information presented to them. So normally they don't, you know, verify the information that is actually presented to them. So they have this undue trust in other people's. And this is also what the scammers use. So the person can just call from the other side of the line, and without really any verifying whether this person is truly who they say they are, you started to do what actually the person asked you to do. You know? So over-trusting is one of the characteristics of gullible person, and these are easy, they can be manipulated. You could be that kind of person. The other characteristic is the lack of skepticism. No, now where you accept claims at the face value, you know, without really questioning their validity and or seeking additional evidence. So you don't have that, you lack that skepticism. And of course, naive, being naive, is that, you know, the person, when you're talking about now the person that lack actually social intelligence, they might be inexperienced or unaware of a common deceptive tactics. So do you know why, and this is also, do you know why older men probably would prefer a younger person? So because this is a tactic, it's a manipulative tactic. So because a younger person haven't got an experience, so they are unaware. There are certain things that they are unaware. They are naive about certain things. So making them more vulnerable to manipulations. So these are completely tactics, are manipulative tactics. So the donkey wanted to believe he could become a king. And that desire made him more trusting. So it's just the same thing that I talked about, a student who lack accommodations. He has accepted at the university, but he doesn't have. So the desire of you going to university just be, and you lack accommodation. Now this could be available, you know, and this is somebody who actually giving me this. That could make you more trusting. So, and sometime now, despite experiencing, you know, like the donkey, despite experiencing harm twice, your ears were cut off and your tail were chopped off. I mean, were also cut off. So he remained naive about fox's true intentions. So it's the same. This girl will remain naive to the gentleman, true intentions. So, you understand this? So, these patterns now, okay? I want you to follow. These patterns show constantly in our daily lives. All right? So consider the person who keeps, they also keep, I want to give you another example. So who keeps lending money to a friend who never repays them back, you know? Each time is believing, okay, maybe this time will be different. Or think about, I talk about the schemer now. Think about investors who fall for these get-rich-quick schemes. So they completely ignore the red flag because they want to believe in the proposed returns. So even when they experience the first time this, so they, because of their belief in the proposed or the promised returns, they actually ignore the experience that they are going through in the moment. So the psychology is identical to our donkey story. So hope and desire override experience and evidence. So think about that into your own, you know, in your own life. So, do you understand that? Hope and desire override experience and evidence. Because of what you hope for, because of your desire, you may actually, what you hope and what you desire, if it's something really good, you may endure the experience you're going through and even the evidence that you can see. But you may endure that. So, but I want you to see the process. And most of the time we ignore that decision-making process. All right? But what do? We rationalize it. All right. So let's have a music break. And when we come back, we will look at what the donkey should have done. And that also maybe comes to you in your own life. All right, let's take off one.
I don't say a word. I know what you're feeling. Just hold me close. Don't be afraid. These arms won't let your heart break.
Just ask me, girl. Oh, I surrender. I make love to you. So soft and tender. Every breath I take, these arms won't let your heart break. Oh,
these eyes will worship and adore you.
Oh,
these hands will love you every day.
His arm won't let your arms break. That's all for one. These arms. Classic. Very classic. Welcome back. So welcome back. And if you're just tuning in, this is Mind Matter on the show that really explore your mind. So what do? We go deeper into those psychological patterns and social factors that affect now how you think, how you feel, and how you make decision in life and how you make choices in life. It's all affected by your mind. Okay? So now let's go back to our stories. So now I want us to look at now the whole, this is the most things that I want us to look at actually. So, because the question that we ask, that I ask at the very beginning of the show is that why do we sometimes make the same mistake over and over again? And we look at some, you know, we compare ourselves to the story of the donkey, the fox and the lion, and how the donkey has been manipulated, and the process of making decisions in the donkey. So and you know how the fox actually appealed to a number of manipulation tricks. So and how actually the donkey actually fall into those tricks or tactics. Also going also deeper a little bit in terms of the process, your mind processing of some of this aspect. Now, this what I'm going to talk about is probably the most the important part of our today discussion. And this is that the question is that what the donkey should have done. So and here is where we really, really need to talk about now critical thinking. Now, I normally define critical thinking as thinking that question itself. You know, critical thinking is, in a simple term, it's a thinking that questioning itself. So where you questioning your assumptions, if you have some assumptions, in most cases we do. So where you're questioning your assumption, where you're assessing evidence, that's a critical thinking. Where you're questioning, where you're assessing the evidence that are available to you, where you're considering different perspective. Now considering now this different perspective to form a well-reasoned conclusions, okay, or well-reasoned decision.
Oh, I'm leaving on that midnight train tomorrow. And I know just where I'm going. I packed my troubles and I'm going along the way. Cause this time, little darling, I'm coming home to stay. I'm on my way. I'm mighty glad to stay. Oh, you're sleeping. Like it's not love.
Well, 3T, stuck on you. Welcome back. I was just sorting out something. So please, you're welcome. And we're talking about the critical thinking and what would have the donkey done in that situation. And we went through looking at that. So the key component of critical thinking really that could have saved our donkey is include evaluating sources. So is the fox trustworthy? That also goes now when you're looking into your life. So when you're looking at, is this information really trustworthy? So that's what it means being critical thinking, being a critical thinker, is looking at whether what the information that actually there's a person tells you, is it worthy? Is it trustworthy? So the questioning assumption, you know, you could have also applied the questioning assumption. You question your own assumption. Why would a lion actually want to make me a king? So that's kind of that. So why would a stranger from the study that we are looking at, why would a stranger actually want to offer, this actually something to be true, like something good to be true? Why would actually a stranger actually offer me, give me, a flat for accommodation for not, for me not offering anything? That actually sounds good to be true. So, and the other thing is then being a critical thinker is also considering alternatives. What other explanation exists for this event? So this person have been hurt twice. So because of the rationalization of the fox, so they keep going doing the same thing. So what that means is also you being critical, you know, when you are being critical is being able to actually look at alternatives. So is there other alternatives? And also objective reasoning. What does the evidence actually shows? So in this, you know, it tells you these guys abuse you. It tells you these guys, whatever this scam, you can see that, this scam is a scam, or this is not something that is reliable. So being critical, it's very, 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 very important. So, and one of the most disturbing aspect of this story, okay, one of the most disturbing of this story is how the donkey actually ignored clear physical evidence of danger. He literally lost body part and still went back. So that could be you. It could be that you literally, you know, you lost your money and you still probably go back to that scheme, or you probably have been hurt. You have been hurt and still actually go back to that. So this is not just a fairy tale problem. It is a very human one. So it is a very human one. Now, so earlier on, I told you that this is called cognitive dissonance. It's the mental discomfort you feel when your action contradict your belief or values. Now, this tension motivates you to resolve that inconsistency. And often by what you need to do then is either it's by changing your behavior or adjusting your beliefs or rationalizing the situation. And in most cases, we end up actually rationalizing this situation and just go back like the donkey did. So rather than change our belief, we often find ways to rationalize way conflicted evidence. So the donkey wanted to believe in becoming a king so badly that he explained away his injuries. So it's like you wouldn't see the inconsistency in the schemers because you wanted money, you know, you wanted this money so much that you won't be able to, you rationalize away certain things that you see. So, and we see this constantly in a real world situation, domestic abuse victims. often they minimize or rationalize their partner's violence. He didn't mean to hurt me that badly. Okay? He didn't mean to hurt me that badly. Oh, no. She only gets violent when she's drunk. So the victims of financial fraud often ignore the early warning signs because they are so invested in that promised outcome. So you see that. So the story teaches really to pay attention to red flags. Those early warning signs that sometime is not right. The early warning signs that something is not right. So the monkey in the donkey case, the red flags were literally red with his own blood. So it was literally red. But even before that, there was some sign. Why would a lion need a fox, as an intermediary? You know, why wouldn't the lion approach him directly about his honor? Or why this is actually happening somewhere in a remote location? I'm just setting up. So I'm trying to get out the red flag in a situation. So learning to recognize and respect red flag requires what researcher called a sustained attention and reflection. So that's the ability to concentrate on a task or activity over extended period without becoming distracted. Think of yourself when you follow during the lecture, when you're in a class concentration or reading a book for hours, or you wanted to complete a detailed project. So it's the same thing. It requires that sustained attention and reflection. And these are two critical thinking skills that require practice for you to develop them. Critical thinking, attention, sustained attention and reflections. So that's very, 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 very important. All right. Now, so before we get into, I bring this to the application that where we see this pattern in our lives today. Let's have another music break, and then we will then get into this. All right, and so we go the old schools. Let's take Kool & the Gang, Cherish. Yeah, welcome back. That's Cool and the Gang. Cherish the love. We have cherish the life. We have, yes, as welcome back. It's a Saturday morning and, it's the very last day of the month. And of course, we understand where you are and what you will be, what you are probably doing in this time. So welcome back. And we're looking at why do we sometimes, you know, find ourselves making mistakes over and over again. So, all right, that's what we have been looking at. Basically, we're looking at the process of decision making, and particularly looking at, you know, the story that we had that have so much in it that we can actually compare to in terms of manipulations. We looked at a couple of things that actually just fit into our life today as well. So yeah. And, now I want actually to take some examples, you know, really to bring this closer to home, with some examples that mirror a little bit of our story exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, and just maybe looking at other things that we mentioned just to indicate that's how, this is exactly what has happened also. These are things that also happen in your life, in my life, in everybody's life. So, but you're also most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08333. We are right here in Ondangwa. 08333-66091. So do come through and have your contribution on the topic, and or whatever. As I said earlier on, as we always do on the show, that if there's anything that has to do with mental health issues, a question that you have, or any other issues that you would like to tackle, or maybe someone who need help in some way and don't know how to go about it. So you're most welcome to come through and share your own story, what you went through and how you have overcome some of these challenges. So you're most welcome to come through and share with us on this program. So that's the platform. Someone may also just learn from what you went through, and maybe they're finding themselves in the same situation. And then, by sharing your story, could be, that medicine they need, or that belief they need, to move on and change, either the way they see things or the way they behave. So do that. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. That's the number you need to dial. All right. So what we're going to look at, we look at some applications just to give us a broader understanding of what we have been talking about. So, and where we see, the very pattern that we see in our story, that we saw in our story, into our life. First of all, let's look at an example of the Roman scam, scams. So every year, thousands of people really lose money. They lose money online, they lose money to that online Romans and scammers who use the same pattern as our fox in the story. So they create an appealing fantasy. Remember, an appealing fantasy. Remember when we were talking about bait and twist. Okay. The bait and twist we were talking about earlier on. The bait is this person create an appealing fantasy. That's the bait. You know, true love, perfect partnership. And you have been now talking to this person, and it does create that true love in the way they talk to you, in the way they, you know, they present themselves to you and all that. And then gradually, this now the twist, and then gradually introduce the request for money. with believable, you know, with some kind of believable explanation. Could be the emergency medical bills. Now you get to know them now. You have been communicating to them. You get to know them. And now when they say they have this emergency medical bill and the way they present it to you is so believable. So, or even a travel cost to meet you. So, they would, now you can think, okay, the person is actually coming to meet me. And that's so believable. So now when the victims, when you start to express, for example, doubt, you remember? So when I said that this is now a twist, when we're looking at bait and twist. So now maybe you're starting actually to express doubt. We also talked about a rationalization. So they provide, then the schema provide a rationalization. So I know this seems suspicious, but you have to trust me. So in that line, you know, that kind of assertions, you know, now they rationalize. So, and we talked about that in depth. And then we also talked about emotion manipulation. And then they appeal to your emotions. Don't you want us to be together, for example? Don't you want us to be together? So, yeah, those are the some of the issues. It just...
A child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. 'Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I pray for her even more than me. I pray for her even more than me. Too much, but she loved. I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again.
Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Well, Luther Vandross, dance with my father, again. So welcome back. So yeah, we were looking at, I tried to, you know, our story early on, and, I tried to look at some examples in that are relevant to you, applying to, what we're looking at on. So the different aspect that we talk about, throughout. And I was talking about the Roman scheme, Roman scams. Yeah. So we can also talk about the marketing marketing schemes. So these business often target people with promises of financial freedom and independence. So the modern equivalent of becoming a king. So now, that's now the modern equivalent of becoming a king that we had in our story. So here you being actually promised the financial freedom and independence. So when the recruit lose money, so when you lose money in their, let's say for example, in your first attempts, they are told, it is because they didn't work hard enough. So you probably, they are told that, you didn't work hard enough. Or you didn't believe in the system enough. So the rationalization that we talked about keeps people investing time and money, despite the amount of losses that they are occurring actually. So, and also, that also reminds me, you know that some of the churches as well, maybe not all of them, some of the churches deploy exactly the same tactic, you know, this manipulative tactic. So what you are being told, you have to see the major one. Some of them they call it Mama Papa, the major one, or Papa, or the prophet, or whatever they call them. So then you actually have to give money. You have to offer money to speak to Papa or the prophet or the major one. So, and when the things that you maybe prayed for didn't happen, what actually you're being told? You'll be always told, so maybe you didn't have enough faith. So you didn't have enough faith, or you didn't believe enough, you know? So, and what happened? So you keep investing. First of all, you keep investing time, you keep investing money. So hoping that, you know, and no matter how much you apply yourself, it's a manipulative tactic. No matter how much you apply yourself, you will always have this guilty of not having the faith enough, of maybe not believing enough. So, and what happened? You keep coming. So you keep actually coming. And that can also, this kind of tactic can also be applied in a romantic relation or in any other relationship. So you can also talk about, the toxic workplace. Not only relationship. So employees often stay in a harmful work environment because management provide that rationalization for poor treatment, for example. So we are all family here, so we expect extra dedications, you know. So and this crazy pace is temporary, just until we get through this busy season. So the promise of advancement, you know, that debate we're talking about, or the fear, or maybe the fear of unemployment, it keeps people accepting unacceptable conditions. So, which is actually now your twist. Eh? So, I'm just trying to help you understand how actually, that we're looking at your decision process, decision processes, you know, and how your mind works. It could be the other things. Let's also make it broader. Political manipulations. Politicians and media figures, you know, often use this, they often use this Fox playbook. Yeah, the Fox playbook, the story, our story. So what happened is that they make these grand, promises and then providing elaborate explanation when these promises don't materialize. So yeah, we would have fixed the healthcare, but well, the opposition blocked us. Or something. The economy would have been, the economy would be better if not for the global factors beyond our control. You know, supporters often, you know, accept these, rationalizations, rather than question the original promises. So, yeah. And remember, when you apply critical thinking, when I was talking earlier, those elements that we are talking about. So maybe that's the time that so how do we then avoid becoming a donkey in our own lives? How do we become, how do we avoid becoming a donkey in our own lives? So the good news is that we can build what I called a mental immunity. So mental immunity against manipulation through practical strategies. Through practical strategies. One, so develop a healthy, and I'm saying a healthy, develop a healthy skepticism. So, well, I mean, this doesn't mean that, I'm not saying become paranoid or cynical. That's not what I'm saying. But rather apply what the researcher called the intellectual curiosity. You know, when someone makes you an offer that seems too good to be true, ask a question, lots of questions. How exactly does this work? What is the catch? Why me? What is in it for you? What isn't in it for you? So if something is actually legitimate, legitimate opportunity can withstand all this scrutiny and inquiries. So apply intellectual curiosity. So the other thing, it's actually practice what I also called the red flag rule. You know, what that rule is. You establish a personal policy that any red flag, it doesn't matter, no matter how small it is, requires you to pause. You pause and investigate further. So don't just rationalize away warning signs. In most cases, we rationalize away warning signs. So if someone pressured you, this also I have heard from the something I pick up from F&B segment. They said, well, if someone pressures you to make a quick decision, that in itself is a red flag. That in itself is actually a red flag. So, you know, establish some personal policies that help you to pause and investigate further, when it comes to, any red flag. All right. Don't rationalize it away. Don't rationalize away, seek a warning sign. So, and some of us maybe don't even come to a situation where we don't see even these warning signs anymore. we have developed a habit that actually ignoring this. And once you have developed that habit, even when the warning signs are there, you don't see them anymore. So the other thing, and I'm saying, I'm giving you these practical things. The other things that I, that are normally when you want to find out whether something, it's a, that's actually a good decision to take, use what is called the friend test. All right. So the friend test is that before making a significant decision based on someone's advice or promise, ask yourself, if my best friend told me someone, if my best friend told me someone was treating them this way, all right? Let's say, for example, your best friend was telling you that, you know, someone is treating them in that way, whatever that way that is not good. What would I advise? What would your advice be? So because when we're looking at others, when we think of other people, we are much clearer about other people's situation rather than our own. So once that would then indicate what you need actually to do. So use that what is called friend test. So what would I, you know, if my best friend is going through or is being treated, is telling me that he's being treated in this way, what would my advice be? So use that. That's actually normally what you would advise to your friend. So that would be the way you need to take to make these decisions. So the other thing very important as well, it's tracking our promises versus outcomes. I would say actually document those patterns. There are patterns. So if someone consistently failed to deliver on their commitments, that is data. That is data. Who would say data and data? Americans say data. In the English say data. Okay, whoever. So that's actually data. It's information. So don't see them as a series of unrelated coincidences like the donkey did. The donkey mistake was treating each encounter as isolated rather than seeing the pattern. So keep track of those patterns, because it's only when you realize that this keep happening. So anything that we do, there's a pattern that we follow. Everything in life, there's a pattern to it. So even when you count, the only thing that you can remember in life is something, if something has a pattern. If it doesn't have a pattern, you can't remember that. Your memory cannot capture that. So everything has got a pattern for you to be able to understand it. Even 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's a pattern you follow. There's only one number. You add one number to that. So if I make up a number that has no pattern at all, it will be difficult for you actually to remember that number. So, but if I said 2, 4, 6, you know, that you can remember. If I give you now 2, 6, 4, I mean, if I give you 2, 4, 6, 10, and if I give you 8, 1, 3, 5, 6, 1, 4, 2, would you remember that? Because there's no pattern there. And even if you remember it, you will actually create a pattern, your own pattern with that. It's the only way you can be able to remember that. So in any behaviors, this is very important to really understand that this could be a pattern. It's not something that you can change, you can do anything. But it's also something that you can recognize about you as well. Is certain behavior in you a pattern that you need to change that actually requires your mindset? Maybe requires a different mindset. So, and cultivate now. One reason manipulation work is that it create an isolated information environment. Now, you must also be able to ask other people, seek trust friends, maybe an advisor or a professional who can provide objective feedback about your situation. So the donkey had no one to check with, but except the fox himself, who is actually manipulating him. So, and perhaps the most important lesson from our story is knowing when to walk away. The donkey fundamental error wasn't just trusting the fox initially. It was continuing to trust after receiving clear evidence of deception and harm. So maybe that's what happened to you. In psychology, this relates to what is called the sunk cost fallacy. The sunk cost fallacy, that's a tendency now to continue investing in something because we have already invested so much. You know, even when continuing, it doesn't make sense. So that's the where you kind of like, I have been in this relationship, where else can I go? So that has wasted already. Those costs are already wasted. So the question isn't whether to waste what has been already invested, but where to waste even more. So that's the question. So now here, every time you return to a harmful situation, hoping that this time will be different, you are potentially making the same mistake as our donkey in the story. All right? So learning to walk away requires emotional regulation and objective reasoning. So the ability to separate your desire from the evidence in front of you. So it also requires your self-compassion, you know, following forgiving yourself for the initial mistake, so you don't compound it by continuing. All right, as we coming to almost to the end, as we come, to, it's already 2 minutes past one. So as we wrap up today's Mind Matters discussion, I want you to remember that the moral of our story is not that the donkey was stupid. So the donkey wanted something good. Respect. The donkey wanted respect, status, a better life. So, and because of that desire, so then we're talking about that was now the bait. Wanted something that's good. That was promise. So he could actually then suffer the twist that we talk about. And those are no more health desires. So the tragedy is that these very human ones were exploited by someone with no good intentions. And now the fox succeeded not because he was so clever, but because he understood human psychology. He knew that people will rationalize almost anything to avoid abandoning hope. So he knew that shame about being fooled once make people more likely to be fooled again rather than actually admit their mistakes. So, but you don't have to be the donkey in your own story. You can develop a critical thinking skills, a healthy skepticism, and the emotional wisdom to recognize a manipulation when you see it. So you can learn to evaluate evidence of overhope, I hope, pattern over promises, and your own well-being over someone's agenda. So remember, our story, so powerful, illustrates this. If someone, and this is I want you to remember, I want you to take away. If someone hurts you, and then provide elaborate explanation for why that hurt was actually good for you, you are not dealing with someone who has your best interest at heart. So trust your experience, trust your pain, trust your instinct when they tell you something isn't right. It's probably not right. So next time someone tries to convince you that black is white, that harm is help, or that you should ignore your own experience in favor of their explanation, remember our donkey and choose differently. Well, that brings us to the end of our show this morning. So I will leave you in a capable hand of the matriarch Elizabeth. It's coming up with Elizabeth Wald. So please continue to listen to Eagle FM. And she's just coming up right away. So for me, Mike Oshaveli, I will see you again on Monday, I think. Yes. So have a great weekend and goodbye for now.
What if God didn't? What if I had never been blessed beyond limits?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Elizabeth's World here on Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the 31st of the 5th month, 2025. It is a Saturday afternoon and the time is 1300 hours. It's 8 past, but you know, we rounded off to the nearest. So ladies and gentlemen, we are doing the most this lovely Saturday afternoon because we must like these things in All right, ladies and gentlemen, what if God did?
What if I was always depressed and not living? What if Squad at Campus Kailin was unwritten? And all I ever had to reflect was Bob Dylan. Josiah just decided to rest and not finish. Sia wasn't up to the test and not winning. Shabalala said in his head he can't hit it, but Frit is all relative-ish. What if Tyler just decided to wait? What if Keenan couldn't stomach the hate? What if Booga Love had never been saved and still in love with the game? It's all that's all I fade. What if Eminem had stuck with a 9-to-5? If Chester wasn't playing in 95? If Philemon, my singer, was called offside and Doctor was injured, would you have ever seen Baka fly? And Brenda Fussy wasn't obsessed with show business. And all the win he wanted was checks and more children. And Costa said, you niggas correct, we're not women. Jabba didn't fuck on your vest, they can't Sibbins' son. I stand steady on business and everything that I've done. I can't imagine my Madiba not being a prodigal son. I left Gomani with vision and now I'm back as a young. What if? Does it?